sense by welcoming them in and sharing the table. So that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks, really practical, really doable ways of loving neighbors, loving others. During the week, during home groups, different times I've had coffee with people, I'm pressing this because I'm wanting to really genuinely encourage us to put this short practical series of teachings into action. Are we actually praying for those around us? Are we actually pausing intentionally to listen? It's never convenient. We never have time, but it almost always makes a difference. Are we stopping to listen? And have we invited anyone over to have a meal with us? Truthfully, friends, these are super basic and super simple. These are baby steps. These are baby steps. Yeah. We gotta act on the first step. I know they're challenging. I'm not saying that they're not challenging, but they're baby steps. We can start here. These are just the ways we get to places where we're actually blessing people in the name of Jesus. This is hopefully non-cringy, very relatable ways to share the love and the truth of Jesus. We can start here, but we can't stop here. We shouldn't stop here. So here's a fourth step. Here's a fourth way to be a blessing to others. And I think this is the most powerful way to truly demonstrate the truth of God's love to somebody else. I think in our culture, this communicates in a way that is probably the most powerful of the steps that we've talked about, and maybe we'll even talk about in the future. It is this: it's to serve thy neighbor. Serve thy neighbor. Serving someone is, it's just simply counter to the cultural premium that we place on being served. Serve me. That's the cultural premium. So one of the most provocative things that Jesus does is serve others. And one of the most provocative, noticeable, meaningful, and effective things we can do in an effort to bless others is simply to serve others. And I want to tell you a story, and the point of the story is not to elevate the individual. The point of the story is to highlight the impact of simply serving somebody else. Okay? And I was given permission to tell this story. I'm trying to get back on track as far as that goes. All right, so Jeff Jenkins is a member of our church community. He, as a volunteer, takes care of this facility. He serves on our leadership board. His wife, Connie, is also very involved in our church. She leads a home group. She is a regular volunteer, making a huge impact at the Foundry Youth Center. That's what they're known for. They're known for serving this church, right? That's their reputation. When you think of them, you think of them serving. It's beautiful. I admire them for that. When I see them coming, it's good news. I'm glad they're here. They make things better, right? But that's not the story I want to tell you. The story of the way that Jeff and Connie serve people in this church is a beautiful story, and it's worth celebrating, but it's not really what we're talking about today, just to be clear. The story I want to tell you is just one of the ways that Jeff and Connie have been serving their neighbors. There's an older couple in their neighborhood, and occasionally Jeff would offer to help out with things that happened. A broken sprinkler, he'd go fix it. There's a storm and knocked over their fence. I believe this is when he started spending more time over there fixing the fence. Jeff would notice things, offer to help. Occasionally, he just started stopping by to check in with them. Eventually, whenever they saw him, they would actually motion to him to come. Like, so what are the neighbors thinking about Jeff when they see him? What are they thinking about their neighbor? I don't know specifically, but apparently he's good news to them because they want him to come over to their house. Now, several months ago, the husband of the older couple, the husband died. And Connie offered to make the older woman dinner. And she said yes. And then the next day, Connie brought over dinner again. And then the third day, she brought dinner again. And Jeff and Connie have been making and delivering dinner to this widow every night for 3 months. Yeah, pretty remarkable. Sometimes they just drop it off. Sometimes they'll stay and they'll listen, they'll visit. So recently, Jeff was walking down the street, a couple houses, to take over that evening's dinner. And another neighbor came out to the street and said, hey, we see you bringing food to this house every night. And then he said this, can we help? And then he said this, do you like pie? Could we bring you some pie? So let me just pause the story to point out some things. One neighbor sees another neighbor serving a third neighbor. The first neighbor sees the second neighbor serving the third neighbor over and over and over again. Neighbor number one decides, I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to join with them in that. Why is that? I think it's just when you see people helping people, it's attractive. It's just such good news. It's so counter to so much of what we see all and hear all around us. Most people, they do want to be part of something good. They want to know that their lives are making a difference. They want their evenings to matter. Almost anything is better than TV if we could just get compelled to get involved in something. So the neighbor says to Jeff, we see what you're doing. We'd like to help. We also would like to express our appreciation to you. Can we bake a pie for you? And Jeff's response, he says, that would be great. We would love the help. We also really like pie, so we'd say yes to that as well. But I have a better idea. Why don't you make a pie and we'll make dinner? What he actually said was, I'll have Connie make dinner, is what he told me. And then you guys come over to our house and we'll share a meal and dessert together. And they did. And it was wonderful. He said it was a wonderful evening to share a meal and get to know these neighbors. That's a great story. That's just a great story. It is a wonderful story. It is a meaningful story. It is a practical story. It is a doable story. We could repeat that story. That's a good story there. It's a really good story. A few questions about the story or about the concept that the story illustrates. Is there a better foundation for a relationship than being served or serving? Is there a better foundation on which to build a relationship than service? Second question. Is there a more attractive starting point for a conversation about meaningful things than being served by someone? Is there a more meaningful starting point, or I should say, a more attractive starting point for a meaningful conversation? Third question. Is there a more effective way to establish trust than to serve someone? And fourth, is there a more accurate way to demonstrate the teachings of Jesus than to serve someone? Is there a more accurate way to demonstrate the teachings of Jesus than to serve someone? I think we're talking about something that is totally within the grasp of all of us and actually has some serious capacity to change things. In Luke's account of the Last Supper, this is chapter 22 of his gospel, he includes this scene. He writes, a dispute also arose among them. Them, in this case, are those gathered with Jesus for the Last Supper. As to which of them was considered to be the greatest, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, that is the non-Jewish people, in other words, people not like us, Jesus is saying, others lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, like we're helping you out, but they're lording their power over them. And then Jesus says in verse 26, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? He means like if you walk into a restaurant and you kind of see the typical way that things are rolling out. But he says, but I am among you as one who serves. And then in Matthew's account of the same scene, He writes this, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them? Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. In case you're not aware, Jesus is referring to himself as the Son of Man. It's his favorite phrase for himself, favorite title. It's a reference to Daniel chapter 7, this prophet in the Old Testament. Someone like a Son of Man is going to come out of the clouds, and this is the rescuer of the world. If you're going to bow down before anyone, you're going to bow down before the Son of Man. But Jesus says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's remarkable. So clearly there's a tension here. There is a resistance about being the one who serves. The disciples felt the resistance and the tension. I think we feel the resistance and the tension. Maybe it's because we love comfort so much that we resist serving, because serving is often uncomfortable. Maybe the resistance comes from longing for a brand of authority that values positional control over genuine leadership by example. In other words, I think we are trained to want this kind of authority that says, you have to do what I say because I'm in the position of being in charge, instead of the kind of leadership that is actual influence, where people are actually moved to want to do what you are inviting them to participate in because you're motivating them by your character and your lifestyle. It's a much harder way to lead, but it's the only real, genuine way to lead. Maybe our resistance or the tension around serving people is we haven't quite decided for sure if we believe that that's genuine leadership. Maybe instead we think, I think I'll just opt for the I've been here longer than you, so it's my call. I get to make the decision. It seems the church has often struggled with the temptation to change the world through the exercise of power, meaning control or might or legislation or even violence. We'll make it happen. While Jesus clearly demonstrates a different way to change the world, he says, I am among you as one who serves, as one who serves. And then finally, friends, how did Jesus serve? There's probably a variety of things we could point to, but if we paint with really big strokes, we can identify three big ways that Jesus served. Quickly, first, he healed people. He served the sick, he served the diseased, he served the weak by healing them. He advocated for their healing. He accomplished their healing. He served through healing. Secondly, he delivered people, which means he freed people from oppression. He confronted oppressive spiritual forces. He confronted oppressive institutional forces, whether they were civic or religious. And he confronted cultural forces that were oppressive, trends, customs that kept people down. He delivered people. He freed them from bondage. And then a third way that Jesus serves people is he proclaims the truth about God and God's kingdom. He taught the truth. He taught and preached about a way of life that was the way we were designed to live. He called people to turn away from deception and turn toward God. So, how did Jesus serve? He's among us as one who serves. How did he do it? Well, he healed people, he delivered people from oppression, and he taught people the truth by what he said and by what he did. He taught people the truth about God. So, what I'm saying this morning is super basic and simple. It's simply this: one of the most practical and effective ways you and I can be a blessing to our neighbors and others whose lives just regularly overlap with our lives. Don't get hung up on the actual neighbor thing. It's just others that we share life with. Soccer field, work, grocery store, campus, or whatever. One of the best ways we can be a blessing to people is simply to serve them. It's practical. It's helpful. It is effective in setting a tone of appreciation between two people. And maybe even, Jeff Jenkins' story, intrigue. Like, what is going on? Why? What is the reason? And the biggest important reason is this. It is profoundly Christian to serve people. It is distinctly Christian. We're not the only ones serving people, but the one we serve came to serve. We should be out serving everybody. It's a profoundly Christian thing to do. Is it glamorous? No, it's really not. Is it exhausting? Yes, it can be. Will people cheer for you? A little, maybe. Most of the time they won't. And eventually they almost take it for granted and they just expect you to do it. But the church is at its best, friends, when we're serving people. We're at our best when we're serving people. When we're feeding the hungry in the name of Jesus, we're at our best. When we're responding to natural disasters in the name of Jesus, man, that is the church at its best. When we're rescuing children in Jesus' name, it's just so compelling. We're at our best. When we're taking a meal to a grieving widow who lives on our street, we're at our best. That's the church being the church in the world. That's the church serving in the name of Jesus. I just think it's such a beautiful thing. Let me just wrap up with this. I just remember this one night. It was like 10 or 12 years ago. I think I was in my 10 or 12th season of coaching Little League Baseball, and I'm cleaning up the field, And it's dark, and the lights go out, and nobody else is there, and I'm schlepping all this equipment across this field, and I'm bitter about it, and I'm just stewing about it. I'm just so over it, and I literally say out loud, I say, why am I the only one always cleaning up? And the only reason I remember this, because I'm sure I complained about it a lot more than this once, but I think this might be the last time I complained about it, because I felt like God said, you're Christian. This is what you do. It called me out. God called me out. This is what Christians do. They serve. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I will keep cleaning up. God help me. God help me. I mean it. God help me and I will keep serving. I will keep serving. God, you got to help me. Don't let me slip into bitterness. Don't let me slip into some weird religious pride. God help me. I will keep serving. God help me. I will keep serving. I will serve my neighbors. I will serve the world in the name of Jesus for the glory of Christ. Amen? Amen. God help us. We do want to make a difference. We ultimately hope that people who are broken and hurting and feel alone and lost will be able to find you. We want to participate in the salvation and the restoration of those we know and love all around us. And I just pray that rather than being a hindrance, that we would be a help, that when our neighbors see us, they might think all kinds of things, but maybe ultimately, Lord, may we be good news to them. May we prioritize living in a way that is a blessing to them. Help us to serve, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.